This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We talk with Ray Fittipaldo about James Daniels' contract situation, why it looks like he'll be gone, and what it means for the guard market in the NFL. That, more on the Steelers' offensive line, and Pirates talk with Noah Hyles. It's all here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. He's Ray Fittipaldo, one of our great Steelers beat writers. And as always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And as always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap all day, every day. And there's always new ones switching out. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. It's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. More on them later. Ray, I want to talk to you about James Daniels because he has revealed to the world that the Steelers have made it clear they're not negotiating with him in this offseason, and that he's basically going into the last year of his deal with the Steelers, kind of knowing that that's just is what it is. There won't be any negotiations, and he's going to be hitting free agency unless he resigns with the team after his final season. But that's not a good sign to do that, especially when you look at what's going on with free agency in recent years. And Ray, I got to ask you, as a guy who studies this stuff, as a guy who covers this stuff all the time, does this mean that James Daniels is definitely gone, or is there a chance that the Steelers can find a way to sign him back?
No, I think 99% James Daniels will be with another team this year. I think Omar was pretty transparent about that on draft day, on third day of the draft, when they got Mason McCormick with their first pick in the fourth round. He basically came out and said, given the way the guard market is, you know, we wanted to get younger at that position. Isaac Seumalo is making the same amount of money as James Daniels, $8 million a year. Isaac has one more year left on his deal beyond this season. So it just makes sense, Chris. And, you know, when you have to, you know, ideally if it works out with Broderick Jones and Troy Fa'utanu, you're going to be investing big money in the tackle position. And, guard is one place where you could actually, save some money, rather than paying guys on the free agent market. I know you have the list in front of you. Kevin Dotson, after he was traded from the Steelers to the Rams, signed a big deal. He's making $16 million a year with the Rams, double what Seumalo and Daniels are making with the Steelers. Robert Hunt,
yep.
Dolphins to the Panthers, averaging $20 million a year on his deal for a guard.
Yeah.
Okay. And listen, you know, James Daniels isn't an all-pro or even a pro bowler, but do you not think he can't go out there and get Kevin Dotson money next season?
That's the whole thing, is that Kevin Dotson was let go or was traded away because Seumalo and James Daniels were getting the job done. And listen, they're good. Like, they're good players. And that's the whole point, though, is that, like, they were good. Kevin Dotson, you know, went somewhere else and did well for the Rams. I keep saying this because everyone keeps pointing to PFF grades about Kevin Dotson. I'm like, look, he did have some good games with the Rams. But if you look across the board, what he did with the Rams, he also had bad games with the Rams, just like he had bad games with the Steelers. And I think that everyone's kind of looking at this smaller sample size and saying, oh, man, he's this all-pro lineman. And I think that Kevin Dotson, he has potential. I've always said about his time with the Steelers, but the whole problem is being consistent. Let's see if he's consistent, and now they're paying him money to be consistent. That's going to be very interesting to watch over there. Yeah. And James Daniels is consistent. I think that's the whole thing there. That's why you're saying he's going to make the money when he hits free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I give the Steelers credit, too. You know, free agency every year starts in the middle of March. The draft typically is the last weekend in April. So there's 6 weeks to try to figure out trends that are going to, you know, be factoring into the decision-making for teams down the road. So for the Steelers to realize, hey, the guard market exploded this year. What can we do about it? Okay, let's draft a guard, you know, middle rounds. Let's develop that guy behind James Daniels, and let's hope that he's ready to go in 2025 as a starter. McCormick isn't some young guy. McCormick's, what, 23, 24 years old? So presumably they got a pretty good bead on what he is as an athlete, what he is as a football player, and they're pretty confident, I think, that he could develop, you know, with 1 year seasoning into a guy who could be a capable starting guard. And if he's not, then, hey, listen, you got to go out and, you know, find somebody else, or maybe somebody else on the roster can fill that void for you. But I like I said, I give the Steelers credit. What's another thing that almost every team does now every year in the draft? Draft a receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Draft two receivers. Look at the Packers. The Packers a couple years ago drafted three receivers. It's because receivers are getting paid on the open market, and you want to build with young guys so you don't have to constantly be paying these guys. So, you know, good move by Omar Khan. Like I said, he was transparent about it. And, I think James Daniels is as good as gone after this season.
And to your point about Robert Hunt, again, getting paid on average $20 million a year in his deal with the Carolina Panthers. He has yet to make a Pro Bowl. Like, that's the thing there is that, so like, and again, James Daniels is not that he's a superstar, but Ray's point and my point that I agree with him, you don't have to be a superstar right now to get paid on this guard market, because people want veteran offensive linemen. They want guys to come in and stabilize the offensive lines and protect their quarterbacks and get the run game going. And I get all that, but that's why the Steelers ain't going to be before him. And that's why they're like, you know what? We don't need to. We're going to go, you know, to see if Mason McCormick develops. And guess what? If they feel like he's not making the kind of progress, guess what? They're probably investing, you know, a second or third round pick into next year is probably going to be the guard position, so that they don't have pick. Because Sam Alu gets to stick around for another year. And I think that's another reason why Daniels isn't getting a new contract. Because it'd also be one thing if Daniels was playing like Alan Faneca or David DeCastro, right? Like if he was bulldozing everyone in his sight and the most dominant guard in football, then I'd be like, okay, well, then you got to pay him because he's that dominant. But he's a good player. And I think that's the thing, is that he's a good player, but you're investing to build a great offensive line. And I want to get – and in the next segment, we'll talk more about the tackle position. But I think that's the point here, is that you don't want to pay him great money for good play.
And listen, James Daniels is set up perfectly to earn this third contract. He came into the league young. I think he was drafted when he was 20 or 21 years old. I think he's only 26 years old right now. So he's a guy who can get a four-year contract, $16 million a year, and he's got the capability of earning every last cent of that contract, because he's probably not going to be 30 until the end of that contract. So, I mean, he hit it right. He made a good decision to come out of Iowa when he did. He's maximizing his earning potential. It's just that he's going from team to team. And listen, it's a business. It's a business for teams. It's a business for players. He's going to do what's best for himself. And I guarantee you he's going to be able to make more money elsewhere. And that's what he's going to do.
Absolutely. To your point about that, you're right. He's a 26-year-old guy with 6 years of experience in the NFL. That's why people are going to want to pay him. And if you're the Steelers, you just have a lot of other priorities right now. But I want to talk about how some of those priorities involve the futures of the rest of this offensive line that they've invested into. Broderick Jones, Troy Faltanu, Zach Frazier, but specifically those two tackles there. But we'll talk about that in a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, again, they have over 500 different available beers. And I want you to encompass that in your brain. 500 different available beers. That means you could go there for weeks on end and you'd still not be trying. You have tried all the different beers there. But that's the amazing part of Mike's Beer Bar. You can try anything from a stout to an IPA to all the different summer beers that are available, that are also bringing new ones in every single week, so that you can experience something new every time of summer. Also, 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, because we have an amazing craft brewing. We also have 80 of those beers that are available on tap all day, every day. And you go in there and you can try new ones out. They're always sampling new ones in there, so you can always get a new experience. Plus, they have amazing food like their steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Every time you cut off a piece of steak, just press it into the stone and you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. Go there today. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We are here talking with Rayford Apato, Steelers beat writer, about the Steelers offensive line and why James Daniels isn't going to be re-signed. But again, I think part of this is because Ray, Omar Khan, I think, is putting an emphasis into the offensive line in a way that we've never seen with all the great histories of Steelers offensive lines. I mean, you think back to even recent ones with DeCastro and Pouncey, or you think back to Hardings and Fanica, or Dermoni Dawson, or Mike Webster, and all the guys. But all those guys I just named, they're centers, they're guards, they're interior offensive linemen. You go back through all of the great histories of the Steelers offensive lines, and they're led from up in the middle. And you think back to their tackles, and there's good players. There's Marvell Smith. There's Max Starks. There's guys that did a really good job. But that's not the Hall of Fame category in this team. And in fact, I think that's the one, outside of tight end, that's the only other position that they don't have Hall of Fame guys just lined up at over their decades of being one of the better teams in football. So with that being said, seeing them invest picks like Broderick Jones, picks like Troy Fautanu, to me, that says to me that you're seeing a shift Omar Khan is developing around how the league is emphasizing or prioritizing the offensive line, and that's the tackle position over the interior positions.
Yeah, look how teams are investing on their defense. They're investing in edge rushers. You look no further than the Steelers. Highest paid player on the Steelers, T.J. Watt, edge rusher. Alex Highsmith, probably among the, top five or seven earners on the Steelers. I think he's making upwards of 14, 15 million a year. So that you win with quarterbacks in the NFL, and you're a defensive coordinator. What's your job? Your job is to harass that quarterback. So the easiest way to do that, and yeah, you know, sometimes you have generational players like Aaron Donald, who could really affect the game from the middle. So in that case, yeah, you really need strong interior offensive linemen. But I would argue that there are more T.J. Watts, Nick Bosa's, Joey Bosa's in the world than there are Aaron Donald. And that's just the way the NFL is right now. So makes perfect sense to build your roster in that way. Hopefully those guys work out. They earn second contracts. But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, you have all these high-paid defensive guys who are coming off the edges. You got to find a way to thwart them. And the easiest way to do that is to invest draft picks in them like the Steelers did.
And you're investing draft picks in these guys, high draft picks in these guys, so that they can play well during these rookie contracts while you're investing elsewhere. And I think that's the other thing about the James Daniels contract, is that if they pay James Daniels money, well, they have to soon figure out a way to pay Pat Freiermuth and George Pickens and maybe Najee Harris if they want to pay him. TJ Watt's contract is coming back up soon. Cam Hayward's contract is coming back up soon. There's all these deals that are coming up very, very soon on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if they pay James Daniels $20 million a year, which, again, going rate for like top guards in the NFL that hit free agency. And again, he's not a top guard, but he's going to get paid like one, as we were just talking about. That's going to take away one, maybe two of those players that we're talking about building, the Steelers need to build around. So this is their opportunity to, hey, you have Seumalo on a friendly deal. Daniels on one more year of a friendly deal. Now Zach Frazier develops. If Faltanu and Broderick develop, they can be your anchors of your offensive line while they're on their rookie deals. And when it's time to pay them, then you can, because you aren't overly investing into the guard position as well as the playmaker positions. And also, by that time, you know, TJ Watt's going to be in a different part of his career. Cam Hayward's probably going to be retired by these guys. So like, there's going to be other ways to invest in this team. And that's why I think it's important to look at how they're investing into this offensive line at these guys that can do it. Because also, not just in the pass game, but also in the run game. Because if you're able to get dominant tackles, you remember what Marcus Gilbert did for the Steelers offensive line with Le'Veon Bell. When he was in there, Le'Veon Bell was like unstoppable in games. When he wasn't in there, Le'Veon Bell was good, but he wasn't nearly as productive because of what Gilbert brought at right tackle. Now imagine left tackle and right tackle being that strong. I think that's where the Steelers are trying to say, hey, we can get this right here. And you can get this for the next 4 or 5 years of guys on rookie deals, including Zach Frazier at center. This offensive line can have them be the anchors while the guard positions, you know, again, Seumalo and Daniels this year, but maybe Mason McCormick develops into right guard next year. Maybe they draft another guard that replaces Seumalo the year after that. That's the vision I think that Omar Khan has that could really work for this offense while it tries to figure everything else out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris, you said it. I mean, it's not that James Daniels is a bad player, but sometimes these are just business decisions that go into roster building, right? I mean, you look at it. Let's just say he gets the Kevin Dotson contract. That's $16 million over 3 years. Or excuse me, $48 million over 3 years. $16 million a year. That adds up, okay? In previous shows, we've talked about Najee Harris. Oh, it's only $6.7 million or $7 million, whatever that number was. But that adds up. 16 plus 7 is $23 million. So all of these business decisions separately add up and factor into your salary cap. So, you can't pay everyone, even though you have good players. You know, Freiermuth is coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a deal done before the season starts with him. You mentioned Watts on the horizon. Who knows what's going to happen with Hayward. But there are bigger fish to fry for the Steelers than James Daniels. And, again, it's nothing to do with his caliber of play. He's a solid offensive lineman, but you know, you just can't pay everyone what they want. And sometimes that's what free agency is for. Guys can strike it rich in different places, and you know, that's good for the teams, and that's also obviously great for the players.
Absolutely. I mean, and how many times have you seen that in your time covering the Steelers, that guys who were solid got top tier money, you know, even recently as Cameron Sutton, and granted he got let go by the Lions for different reasons, but he was a solid corner for the Steelers. They never were trying to make him the number one corner the way the Lions did. I think back to all the way when I was a kid, Antoine Randall-El, everyone knew solid number two, but then Washington came in and paid him number one money. And everyone was like, well, okay, he ain't that. And then sure enough, after a few years, they're like, well, that didn't work out. And guess what? He was back on the Steelers being a solid depth wide receiver. And I think that's where the Steelers, you can kind of make out. It's like, look, Daniels is a very solid player, but he's not the catalyst of the offense. If you want to go pay him to be the catalyst of the offense, you can make that mistake while we're trying to make other moves over here.
Yeah, listen, I remember when Cam Sutton was hitting free agency. I remember just talking to sources. The Steelers had a number in mind or what they were comfortable paying Cam Sutton. And when the Detroit Lions went above and beyond that, they were very content to say, congrats, we're going to walk away from that. We'll find a cornerback, you know, another way. So you have to be firm. You have to be confident in your evaluation of a player going into free agency. And I think the Steelers feel that way about Daniels. They know that he's going to be able to make more money on the open market. That's why they planned ahead and went ahead and drafted Mason McCormick this year, because they know they have to get ready for a future without James Daniels.
Absolutely. We'll keep more eyes on the Steelers and what their moves are going to be as far as signing guys, as we're just weeks away from training camp here, where we'll all have our full team out at Latrobe covering the Pittsburgh Steelers there. Thank you, Ray, for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. We got to switch to the Pirates. I want to talk to Noah Hyles about one of his recent pieces that I think is very interesting about where that this Pirates team is as they're trying to make a playoff push, but also managing two star pitchers that are very young. We'll do that in a sec here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, I want to remind you, this show is also brought to you by Moon Township Honda. When you go to Moon Township Honda, it's 5802 University Boulevard. Go there today. They're also on moonhonda.com, where you can check out all the things they have available. Here's our message from our friends at Moon Township Honda.
To build the Honda CR-V hybrid, we took everything you love about the CR-V and kicked it up a notch with greater power. For a CR-V unlike any before, adventure confidently with Honda, car and driver's most awarded brand in 10 best history. The CR-V and CR-V Hybrid, part of the Honda line of rugged vehicles. Visit your local Honda dealer where new vehicles are arriving daily. Buy online or reserve from select Honda dealers.
Hello, and welcome back to the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, here with one of our great baseball beat writers here covering the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's on the road in Atlanta as they're getting ready to take on the Braves. He's Noah Hyles. Noah, thanks so much for joining us here. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I am just doing dandy. We just got through two wonderful segments of Ray Fittipaldo. But I want to talk to you about a recent piece that I think you touched on, a major talking point that is going to exist for the next several months until the Pirates are either in or out of the playoff picture in the National League. And that's your off-the-bat column, where it was Pirates learning to balance the postseason push with Paul Skeens and Jared Jones' long-term health. Now, Noah, this is the thing that I think there's a lot of people talking about this at Mike's Beer Bar after, like, oh, they gotta let them throw as much as they want, man. Or no, man, you gotta pull them back because you can't make them overthrow right now. Can you get into the crux of what the point counterpoint is about the usage of the two young pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, I think a very good example that Pittsburghers can relate to here in this situation is Jameson Taillon. All right, in 2018. Or 2017, Jameson Taillon threw roughly, I want to say it was around 120, 130 innings. All right, that was in 2017. That was his career high. In 2018, he went on to throw close to 190. That's a 60-inning jump. So he did that from 2017 to 2018. In 2019, he needed Tommy John surgery. Because when you're that young and you go from that big of a gap in innings, It's really bad for your arm, and it's more often than not going to cause some problems.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at here with Skeens and Jones. And Jameson Taillon isn't the only – he's one of a million examples. I just bring him up because he's Pittsburghers relate to things that happen in Pittsburgh. So the ideal jump is 20 to 30 innings. Last season, Skeens, between AAA and – or between the minor leagues and college, threw 129 in a third innings. Jared Jones threw 126 in a third innings. So going off standard MLB practice math, both of these guys want to be around 150 this year. That's a safe space. Maybe 155, maybe 160 if you really want to push it. And I've had that confirmed by multiple sources that that's the target range. There's not a specific number, but that's the target range because you want to preserve their health. And 160 is not like a crazy number. I mean, a lot of guys, that's considered a standard workload for a year. But the question is, with how good these guys are, how do you get them to that number without, you know, allowing them to also pitch through the whole season? That's the big question here, because when you look at Skeens, I mean, he's averaging six innings a start pretty much right now. But that's probably going to go up as he continues to pitch. Because, I mean, his first start was only four innings. He's only gone five innings one other time. It's been six or seven every other outing. So what do you do to make sure, you know, he doesn't hit that 150 mark in late August? and then you're without a pitcher because they will not let him go over 170. And that's the plan. That's the plan. They don't want to have to shut him down. And so you got to get creative here. You see them doing things like what they did in April with Jared Jones, where you get a 5-inning predetermined limit. They're going to say, you're going 5 today, is what it is. You're going to see them doing things like they did in Colorado last month or earlier this month, where they said, hey, we're going up against a last place team. Tomorrow, we play a division rival. We would rather give Paul an extra day of rest, go with a bullpen game on Sunday, and that gives an extra day for Paul to rest, another day off in the calendar. And so that gets us closer to the end of September without Paul having pitched today. They're going to start doing stuff like that, and they're doing it right now in Atlanta. Now, we haven't confirmed that just yet because the clubhouse doesn't open for another, like, 8 hours. But what is presumed to be taking place right now with Jared Jones not being listed as one of the three projected starters this weekend is they're skipping his turn in the rotation. They're giving him a week off just to give him some space, and they're going to need to do this. So it's a really interesting thing. I can go further into it. I'm sure you've got some follow-up questions, so I'll allow you to ask those before I go into it anymore.
No, it's fine. I love the insight. And that's the whole thing about this, man, is balancing this right now because I the way I think about it, I'm like, look, I hear the longevity thing, but Pirates fans are so hungry to get anything. And when these guys pitch, they win most of the time. I know that the last time that Skeens pitched, it didn't work out, but he pitched a great game. And if he got a little bit more bat help, they would have won that game. And so the question, I think there's the duality of saving them for the playoffs, but also needing the wins so that they could stay in the hunt for the playoffs. How does Shelton deal with that in trying to balance this out throughout these times?
Well, I mean, something that really helps them is their pitching depth. I mean, you've got a decent amount of arms that you can use to give you a couple of extra days here and there. I mean, Luis Ortiz just showed us Wednesday that he's essentially a sixth starter for this team. Martin Perez comes back off of the IL today. He will start today in Atlanta. So right now, if you include Luis Ortiz, they've got six starting pitchers right now. So that's allowing you to only have Skeens and Jones pitch once a week. At this pace, if both of them were to make a start on 5 days rest every time, every opportunity for the rest of the year, they would each make around 14 starts. Assuming they each throw 6 innings in those 14 starts on average, that's 84 innings. Now, if they do that, then Skeens would finish out right under 160. So Skeens could make it. Skeens is kind of on target. Jones would be a little high. He'd be around 170. So you're going to have to do what you're doing this weekend, which is just skipping him one time through the order. And Chris, I mean, you ask, I mean, how do they do this while remaining competitive? You've got to be very smart about when you pick and choose the opportunities to do this. Like Jared Jones, for example, is a really, really good pitcher at home. You compare his home numbers to what he does on the road. It makes sense to pitch him or to skip his start on the road. We're going to use Jared Jones where he's best, which is at PNC Park. Like I pointed out earlier, with Skeens getting his start moved back in Colorado, it's like, you know what? We can't beat the last place Rockies in a bullpen game, then we don't deserve to win. I also look at the All-Star break as an opportunity to add some spacing. Perhaps if Skeens or Jones is set to pitch in that final series prior to the All-Star break, that's maybe when you call up a Braxton Ashcraft or Domingo Herman from AAA, give you one spot start. You can do what the Pirates have done. They did it with Garrett Cole before. They've done it. I mean, Ronzi Contreras is the more polarizing decision. But just sending a guy down right before the All-Star break, like 2 days before, just because he's not going to pitch. And you clear that roster space, call up a guy up in AAA from AAA to make the one spot start, and then you can recall him during the All-Star break. And basically, it's just giving him the week off. You can do that. So I wouldn't be shocked if they do that, and then they can reset the rotation after the All-Star break to push Skeens and Jones at the 4-5 spot in that rotation. So basically, you buy them a whole extra week of time. So you can use the calendar, the off days, your opponents, your locations, all of this to your advantage. It just goes into being very strategic and very calculated. And thankfully, as if you're a Pirates fan, I mean, this is something that the Pirates have been cognizant of all season long. They've talked about it from opening day. It's why Skeens had such a unique trajectory to the major leagues while he was only throwing a couple of innings. As upset as everyone was getting about that in April, why is he only allowed to go three innings? This is why. Because they wanted his innings to be in the major leagues. And so they were very calculated with this. They have a plan. Jones is going to be the tougher of the two to meet this mark without going over. But I really think with the depth that they have, you add in, I mean, Ashcraft, Marco Gonzalez will be back. Quinn Priester is on a rehab assignment right now. And then again, you have bullpen games still at your disposal with Josh Fleming and Carmen Majinski. It's going to be unconventional as far as, you know, traditional baseball practices go. But I think they have enough here to stretch this out where it won't be agonizing without them. You know, it's just going to be a here and there thing, and it's not going to be as bad as some people think.
Absolutely. We'll keep an eye on that. I want to get your quick thoughts on the upcoming series against the Braves. Perez, Skeens, Falter, all to take the mound in the coming days here. What are you expecting to see or looking for out of this series?
I mean, each day provides an interesting pitching dynamic. You got Martin Perez coming back off the IL today. How does he look? I mean, because if he can throw the ball like he was in April as opposed to May, that's going to help this whole Skeens-Jones process a lot. Then Saturday, you got Paul Skeens going up against this Atlanta Braves lineup. I mean, how can you not be excited to watch that? And then Sunday, you've got Bailey Falter, who's set to eclipse his inning total as a pro, his high inning limit. I mean, we've been talking about Skeens and Jones. This guy's never thrown more than 84 innings in a big league season, and he's going to eclipse that. So how does he look? He went on record saying after his last start that he was tired, he was fatigued. Was that a one-time thing? Did he have like a cold or something? Or is this guy just kind of running out of gas and maybe he's going to have to move to the bullpen and be subbed out for someone else? So there's something interesting to watch with all three of these pitchers pitching in Atlanta this weekend.
Absolutely. Lots of interesting storylines there with the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can follow all of them at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Subscribe to the Post-Gazette. Go to post-gazette.com where you can read all of Noah's great work, all of Andrew Destin's great work, and see our great coverage of the Pittsburgh Pirates as well as everything else Pittsburgh sports. Noah, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your time in Atlanta. We'll catch all you guys next week. We'll get you back on to hear about how this series went and where the Pirates are coming back home for the July 4th series against the St. Louis Cardinals. He's Noah Heil. Thanks again to Rafe Fittipaldo. And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll see you Monday here after the weekend. Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.